Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Anne Levine Show. We are, of course, joined by Michael Levine.
Hello.
Who's keeping it mighty real with Sylvester. God, I miss Sylvester. Sylvester died of AIDS a long time ago.
I did not know that.
Which was just heartbreaking, but this song just made me so happy then, and it makes me happy now. I need to be reminded I'm real. Do you, Michael?
I guess. I'm not sure if I'm reminded, even if I realize it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
Yeah. Could you please? None of it's real.
Could you repeat that in a way?
None of it is real.
None of what?
Any of this. This is all...
This? Yeah. This show?
All of it. Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
So is this one of these, like, second grade, what if it's the Earth is a terrarium? Is that that kind of thing?
I think maybe. Or, it could be, yeah.
Right.
It could be one of
so
those things.
So it's like, it's grade school existentialist philosophy.
Sure. Yeah, that's pretty high up there for me.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. It's so easy. You make it so easy.
You're nice.
This week has been, well, let's go with Labor Day just came to an end, which is a double-edged sword, as always. A lot of annoying people went over the bridge yesterday. And that's good. The problem is that they take summer with them.
Yeah,
which
they do tend to do that.
Stinks. It stinks. And I am furious
that
it's getting autumnal.
Right.
And I'm furious. Furious.
Furious. Yeah.
And I know there's all sorts of stuff to look forward to. Well, usually, hello, Rosh Hashanah.
Right, yeah, that's one.
What, two weeks away?
Yeah, coming right up.
And Yom Kippur, and then blubbity bup bup bup.
Yeah, all those
then
things.
Then it's Christmas.
Ta-da.
Which I don't even... Hanukkah gives me... I shep nachas from Hanukkah. Christmas gives me shpilkas like nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Now... Yeah. We have been pressed and will continue to be pressed.
Yeah.
Into going to New York for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that is true. That's been a decade long thing. Yeah.
This is particularly, you know, some years are a little more pressure than others.
Mm-hmm.
This year it's out of control.
Oh, yeah.
No, well last year was out of control. But the thing is this year we have COVID.
Right. Yeah.
Which is rearing its ugly head and getting worse. And as a certain northern doctor I know said to me, it's going to get worse. It's going to get really worse. Here's what he said to me. I called him. He's my guru.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of guy.
Yes.
Right.
I called him.
He's an actual doctor.
Yes.
So,
but he's also like a shaman.
Yeah.
And, well.
Right. He's a magic man. Anyway, go ahead.
He is a magic man. If I ever called him and sang that, it might be the last time we ever had any communication.
Yeah. Well, and probably, I mean, that seems reasonable, though, really.
Yeah. Most of my doctors would not enjoy that.
Yeah.
Anyhow. I've been following his rules for me because I have particular needs.
Right.
You know, I do have my own doctor.
Right. Yeah, you sure do.
To whom I am devoted.
Yeah.
We are not related by blood.
Nope. No, not that.
We're not really related by anything except we both find the other hilariously funny.
And that is true. And you both are, I find both of you very funny. So and when it's great to be around the two of you.
It's a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
At any rate, he told me in March, okay, early March,
yeah,
shut the door.
Right. No one in.
No one in. No one in.
No, and you're not getting out either.
And you're not going out except on your property.
Right.
And Michael's not either.
Right. Yeah. There no one's go. Going anywhere.
That's how you're staying
That's
safe.
That's your life now.
Yeah. Given what you have for lungs, and I, as I always say to my lungs, I love you.
Yeah.
I thank you. You're doing an amazing job.
You really are. Yeah.
Giving the crap that the world has handed you.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So this doctor and I had a chat last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look, no one has cleaned my house. I mean, except us.
Yeah.
Which means no one has cleaned our house except the kitchen since early March. And I feel a little desperate about that. He said, no, this is the perfect time. Now, before I tell you any of this information, let me say, I am not a doctor. I do not represent a doctor. Nobody thinks I'm a doctor.
No, I've never
and
thought it.
Nothing I'm saying is true for anyone.
Doesn't even sound doctory.
Except myself and my beshert, my Michael.
Yeah.
All right. So, no one's been here. He said, here's the thing. You got about a 3-week window. Things are at the lowest intensity as COVID concerns since they have been since the beginning.
Right. The transmission rate in Massachusetts is really pretty low at this point.
Right. It's down to 1%.
Yeah.
If you're going to have anyone come in your house or if you have to go somewhere other than, say, the hospital.
Right.
This is the time.
Yeah.
The next
now would be
3 weeks.
Time.
And then it's going to ramp up and you're going to be behind closed doors again.
Yeah. Seal the doors.
Yeah.
And no one
yeah,
in or
no
out.
No one in, no one out.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking going forward, I'm having a biannual cleaning. You know, it's like you get your teeth cleaned twice a year. You get your house cleaned twice a year.
Oh, very good. Now that seems like a good idea. Maybe you could do it on the same day.
Well, I could. I could go out.
Yeah, and get your teeth cleaned. And while you're doing that, they can clean the house.
But you know what's weird is
such a cool idea.
I know. Well, we could set that up.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
What?
It makes me nervous to have people come in the house, even though we know and love the cleaners.
Yeah.
When I'm not here.
Oh,
what
okay.
if they? Right. What if they say, you know, these frickin' Levines, they have been driving me crazy.
Yeah, I'm sneezing everywhere. Is that what you're going to say?
For 15 years, I'm licking every doorknob.
Right.
I'm bringing my toddlers over.
Okay.
To snort and poop and pee on everything.
Right. Okay.
And I don't know.
This sounds nefarious.
Well, it's damn nefarious.
Yeah.
You know, it's attempted murder.
Wow.
And I'm just saying.
I never would have thought it.
One of the most delightful things that happened this summer and recently was that New York, go New York.
Go, yay, go New York.
Decided, yes, we are New York, and we are going to have the freaking U.S. Open.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Yeah, we're doing it.
And
yeah, we've been checking that out.
No, and I am so grateful and relieved because having not been able to watch any tennis since last year's Open.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been really, this summer is always marked off for me.
Right. I know.
By,
and we didn't have any of that. The French, the Wimbledon.
Nothing.
Nothing.
The Australian.
The Australian.
Which I didn't watch much of.
I saw part of it, yeah.
Anyway, so on Sunday, there was quite, was it Sunday? Yeah, on Sunday there was quite a thing that happened.
Yeah,
now, quite well, a thing. First let me get to what it has meant to the U.S. Open to have this tournament go on during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
They have what they call a bubble.
Right.
You can come in and you can leave, but you can't come back in.
Right, exactly.
So, coaches, immediate family, players, and who else?
Well, I don't know.
That's so pretty much it.
Other staff.
Well, yeah, and yeah, you know, yeah, linesmen.
Right.
Are allowed in to the bubble. Mm-hmm. And if you have had COVID, if you're a player or any of those, or a coach, and you've had COVID, you've tested positive, you know, in the last whatever few weeks, you can't come.
Right. You're not, they're not letting you in, and they're taking your temperatures and they're doing tests as people are coming in.
And they're doing COVID tests
right
every day.
Yeah.
On everybody.
And then, and if anybody does come up with a positive, they make a bubble within the bubble, and those people are confined to that particular
they're
space.
They're confined to their rooms.
Yeah, and cannot leave it.
They're confined to their rooms. And decisions are then made based on all kinds of stuff. Have they had contact with anyone? Does
right
anyone else go in the bubble? It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, there are other rules that we didn't get to hear about. And I am so delighted to bring them to you today.
Oh, okay. Yay. Okay. All right. New tennis rules.
Yeah.
Okay.
So ahead of the courts opening, they didn't open every single court, but most of them on Long Island.
Right. Okay.
In Nassau County, which is where
they're having the open?
The tennis open.
Tennising is going on.
The tennising is happening.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The Nassau County is the county that it's in. On Long Island.
Right, yeah.
The Nassau County Executive, Laura Curran, emphasized the importance of only handle your own balls. If you and another player are from another household, she explained,
mm-hmm,
you can touch each other's balls.
Okay.
But players should otherwise take every precaution to avoid coming in contact
with someone else's balls.
Well, with balls of unknown origin.
Right. I mean, come on.
You can kick their balls.
Okay.
But you cannot touch them.
Don't
with
touch
your hands.
Them. Don't pick them up. No. Okay. Yeah. I get that.
And
kick them anywhere you want.
And tennis players are also. Now, this is when you're not in a professional tournament where there are many pairs of eyes on the balls.
Yeah.
If
right
you are just going out to play, you get a Sharpie and you put X's on your balls or initials.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Something to personally identify.
You personalize your balls.
I get it.
And here's the final word she had. If you do come into contact with a stranger's balls, please wash your hands.
Of course.
Well, this is tennis logic.
What are you thinking? Yes,
this
wash your hands anyway.
This is tennis logic. Well, believe it or not, folks, not just on Pornhub, but in the tennis world, there's something called abuse of balls.
Abuse of balls.
Yes.
I know, and it's sad. It is sad.
It is sad. And Novak Djokovic was kicked out of the U.S. Open for abuse of balls.
Yeah, he's an abuser.
He's a ball abuser. And what he did was he was playing a match against Bautista?
Or Busta.
Busta.
Yeah.
He was playing a match against Busta. I came so close with that off the top of my head.
I know, you were close.
I had the B, I had the A.
Yeah.
A lot of vowels.
Yeah.
All right. So let's say you're playing him mm-hmm, and you make a guy. Few mistakes because you're number one.
Right. Of course.
You know, you're Djokovic.
Sounds dramatic.
And you have some bad points.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you might grab a ball and hit it out of frustration. And the ball might hit the lineswoman in the throat.
Yeah.
She may at that point grab her throat and collapse
and
to the ground.
Fall to the ground. Yeah.
Now, Novak, I love calling him Novak. Novak may not have done that on purpose. Novak did not do that on
right.
purpose.
I mean, anybody looking at the video knows.
Oh, no.
That
he didn't do
aim
it on purpose.
That ball at anybody.
He went right over to her to see if she was okay.
He didn't even hit it terribly hard, but you
well,
know what?
For him,
coming off a racket, yeah, it's
oh come on, anything coming off his
it's
racket,
it's going pretty fast, yeah.
And it was a short distance.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't mean to do it.
No,
but he did. And the rule is, if you are, I can't, I don't have the thing with.
If you're a ball abuser,
which means. You have to keep your balls under your control. They are your responsibility.
That is correct. Yes.
While you are using them.
Yep.
And whatever
you
happens.
You cannot do anything with your balls that may.
Intentionally or unintentionally.
Or unintentionally.
Hurt someone.
Correct.
Strike someone.
Yeah.
And they say. And there's no. That is just cut and dry.
Yeah,
and they say that he had to know the second that happened.
Of course.
That it was all
yeah.
over for him. And this has precedent. This has happened
right,
in the past.
Right, it's happened before, so yeah.
I was watching some videos on Sunday of times that this has happened uh-huh. in the past. And I don't know who it was. And I hope someone will look this up. But there was a player who went to kick something. On the sideline,
because
he was so angry,
uh-huh.
and he ended up kicking the line man
oh,
right
no.
in the shin.
Oh no!
Really hard.
Oh, oh, great.
Really hard.
That's awesome.
Which is go on YouTube. It's an amazing thing to see, because depending on the angle you're watching from. It does not look like a mistake. You know, it looks like the guy did that on purpose. Also, I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, Shapovalov did this.
Right.
And had to leave. He hit a ball that was out of play. He hit someone. And ta-da, ejected.
Right.
So,
oh, yeah, he hit the chair umpire in the face.
Right. Oh, wait. You know what happened? I think that guy's eye socket.
That was a Davis Cup match.
Got broken.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I have to click on it. Hold on.
I mean, I think that was a very serious injury, if I'm not mistaken, which really I never am. You know, sometimes I'm misunderstood. Sometimes I am miscredited. But mistaken?
No, I don't think anything was broken. He just, the skin was opened, though it was cut.
Someone got a broken eye socket from an errant
okay,
tennis well. Ball. It was Shapovalov.
Okay, yeah.
And he did, hit chair umpire Arno Gabas in the eye with a ball.
Right.
And he had to have surgery to repair a fractured eye socket.
Okay. Wow.
And Shapovalov is a Canadian, originally from Russia. I have mixed feelings about him, but the, he was very apologetic.
Yeah.
As you ought to be. And he apologized. He apologized to the press. He apologized for letting down his country, his
right.
team. He's ashamed. He's embarrassed. He's apologizing. He's promising to learn from the act.
Well, of course. So, in contrast,
Djokovic.
What Novak do?
Novak zipped up his damn bag and walked out. And then he got into the Batmobile. What right. was that car he got into?
I don't
into?
Know. Some gull wing.
He got into some kind
SUV.
Of
SUV. It was it was wild.
Some like Ferrari
yeah.
something and drove off. And I was happy to see it.
And we haven't heard from him since, right?
No. Yeah. No. He's not answering my texts. And he's being his usual what Novak, you know.
Right. He's reverting to the old Novak.
Now, here's the thing, though. Because mm-hmm. of Roger had to have a knee surgery or shoulder surgery.
Right, yeah.
Rafa had a problem with, I don't know if he has an injury or if he had a COVID
right, well, thing. Or,
and
yeah.
now.
It's somehow COVID related.
And
or
now Novak is out.
Right, so.
So it could be Zverev. It could be Shapovalov. It could be Medvedev.
The last 18 majors have been won
by one of those,
one
three,
of those three guys. Yeah.
So it's an exciting
so,
opportunity for someone
yeah.
who has it. Now, I am very prejudiced. No,
okay.
that's yeah. not right. I am biased.
Well, it isn't right, you know, Ann.
I know.
Okay. I just want you to know that.
Okay, I'm yeah. sorry.
Don't be prejudiced.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Even though what I said was right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I am very biased when it comes to Serena Williams.
Yeah, okay.
And
yeah.
I can't help it.
You're a fan. You love her. Yeah, she's a great tennis player.
At this point, she's still in it. Mm-hmm. And I want her to get that record. What would this be, 23?
24.
24. I really want this for her. I feel like she might feel, if she got the record of 24, that she could just like slow down and spend more time playing dress up with Olympia, which she does constantly.
Yeah, it's one of her favorite things.
Look, go do yourself a favor. Go to Serena's Instagram. It is dynamite.
Yeah, they're so crazy cute.
They have matching dresses, and they do everything from... I saw on Sunday that Olympia Ohanian was playing putt golf.
Uh-huh.
In a blue, cutest blue dress.
Right.
She's just playing putt golf. This yeah. kid is already fluent in every sport.
Yeah. Well, that won't be surprising to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but they do all these fun things. They dress up. They do nail polish. They do skincare and moisturizing together.
And they read and they act out stories.
They
and
dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Cute. What an incredible mom Serena is. And oh, when she won the other day and Olympia was waving to her from
yeah,
the stands.
I know, so cute.
Oh, adorable.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, that is going on.
Yeah.
This week it's going on. Check it out.
If you like that kind of thing.
Yes. And yeah. if you feel like you'd like something a little normal in quotes.
Yeah. Well,
it's come on. It's weird.
It's tennis, but there's no crowd. So that's so weird.
But we're over that already.
I know.
You know, like the first few games we watched, it was a little disorienting. But yeah. now it's like, oh, fine. Anyway, watch it. I want to address something.
Okay. Yeah.
That does not have to do with Novak Djokovic abusing his balls.
Oh, okay, yep. Or anybody else's balls, for that matter.
There has been a little kerfuffle. It's
Uh-oh.
Quite tiny, in a way.
Oh, no.
Between one Rana Levine Glickman. And... and her current partner, Brian.
Okay.
Brian, we don't really have a beef with Brian. We have not interacted with Brian Safi.
No, not, I mean, not and personally.
And I do admire him as being a Sephardic gay Jew actor.
Okay.
Podcaster. That all takes...
Does it take a lot?
It I takes mean, some, yeah. You okay. gotta have a little something burning inside you. Now, as we know, Rana and Beverly,
right?
Rana's former partner,
right? Yep.
And I had some interactions.
I remember that. Yeah.
And we're going back 5 years now.
Oh, maybe even longer than that. Yeah.
Their right? podcast started about 7 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
6 years ago?
I don't know, but you were right there. Yeah.
Well, I was right there because I was looking for a podcast that was Jewishly themed.
Mm-hmm. Right, and there you go. Right?
It came up in one of my searches as something to check out. But what I want to remind everyone of is that this, while we do podcast after the broadcast, this is a radio broadcast.
That is correct.
We're not...
This is not a podcast, people. This is a radio show, a right. broadcast radio on, show.
On a radio station that is historic.
Correct.
That has been around for decades.
That's right.
And where we have been... for a dozen years.
Yeah. So there
way
you go.
Way before R&B.
Right. Any of these so-called...
These Rana come lately.
Detractors.
Right.
Yeah.
And now look, I want to say something right here.
Mm-hmm.
I am a fan.
Yeah.
Michael and I are fans.
Right.
And we have done everything to be supportive listeners, including
sure have,
talking about them on this show.
Well, yeah.
Writing to them. They've talked about us a little bit.
To their world.
And occasionally we get a mention. Sometimes a little snarky.
Well,
but,
yeah, I mean, that
but
often
you know what?
Happens.
It's
really,
coming from Rana. You know? So
right.
that's not... out of character.
No, of course not. I mean, now, maybe she's got something against you, though, or, you know.
Well, I
you know, maybe she's a little jealous. Or
don't think she's jealous unless, you know, they do record from an outbuilding on a property in the North Shore of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And, you and I record in a radio studio.
That is correct, yeah. That's
now,
right.
we live in a home that was built, in a Federalist home. It was built in 1740.
Yeah.
And we
at the latest.
We have three outbuildings on our property.
Yeah, right.
We could record in one of them.
We don't.
But we don't.
No, we don't have
we
to.
We don't. No. And as far as a gay... kind of world, because Rana is very, very popular with her gay listeners, as is Brian.
Okay, right.
And
also seems reasonable.
You know, do you know where our station is located?
Oh, I do. Disneyland.
It's in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Gay Disneyland. This is the Mecca.
So, yeah, so, you know,
this is
what do you got, people?
This is kind of it. And I would say 90% of our broadcast listeners locally.
Those two.
They're probably gay.
Oh, yeah, probably.
And we love them and we love all of you.
Every one of you.
And it's been a long time since I did a little shout out to people like Chris.
Right, Christopher.
Christopher.
Christopher Hawley.
To Kathy.
Kathy and Sandwich. Hi, Kathy.
There's also a Kathy in Harwich, I believe.
Oh, okay. Hi, Kathy in Harwich.
And to a lot of people who have been with us and listening to us for a very, very long time, especially the WOMR crew.
Yeah.
You're so fabulous. And WFMR.
Right. Orleans.
Same crew, different repeater. Our home also, and this may be, we have certain historic connections to the area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while I'm not sure where Rana's people come from originally.
Okay, yeah.
I am a blend. So there's the Eastern European Jewish.
Okay, yeah,
and
right,
there's
got that.
The Swedish Shiksa.
Right.
From
yeah.
Malmö. Who
Malmö.
Has that it's Malmö. M-A-L-M-O with an umlaut.
Yeah, Malmö.
So it's not, well, that takes away the diphthong.
Yeah.
Malmö ends in a U. Malmö
yeah.
doesn't.
Want that. Yeah.
They don't want that. The Swedes.
Right, right, yeah.
Don't hang that around my neck.
Okay.
All right,
no. You're not anti.
So my mother's has a genealogy that goes directly back to the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
DAR membership, which I renounced uh-huh. in the name of George Floyd. And other historical, you know, I'm a Mayflower descendant, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I live in a 1740 house. With Michael.
Yeah.
And we are the second family
That's
to
right.
live
this,
here.
The second family to own this house.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That the first crazy, family it? Lived here from 1740 to 1980, and then my parents bought it.
Yeah. How about that?
There you go. At auction.
Hey, by the way, I have a relative who was in the Continental Congress. Myself.
Uh-huh.
So,
yes.
There you go.
Well, who?
George P. Frost.
And now that is confirmed.
Oh yeah.
I'm asking because Michael comes from a mixed blended.
No, this is through my
Higgledy,
DNA.
Higgledy. Oh, okay.
Because
Michael was put up for adoption. Taken back from adoption,
yeah,
foster, well, everything.
Yeah, well.
So he has several sets of parents.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah, these are the actual descendants
mm-hmm.
in the bloodline. Yeah.
Right. So what I would like to say is that it's not common for there to be Jews in New England.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the most Jewy kind of place, especially Cape Cod
right.
and the North Shore, which includes Marblehead. If you go to Newton, Boston, you know, some of our homies are there.
Right. Brookline, come on.
Brookline.
Yeah.
Right. At any rate, we...
You can get kosher Chinese food in Brookline. Love that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't. I mean, I've never had kosher Chinese in Brookline. I did have it in New York
uh-huh.
once or twice.
I saw there is a kosher Chinese place I saw.
Yeah. Where?
When we went up to the grocery there, it was visible from there. So
to the grocery where?
In Brookline.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple of them.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah. No, but there's tons of them in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And given what I, you know what is fabulous? Bernstein's on Essex.
Uh-huh.
Either you're old enough to remember or you're not. But Bernstein's on Essex was a classic Lower East Side, slam the water on the table, slam the metal bowl of pickled tomatoes and cabbage on the table.
Uh-huh.
And look at you, not look at you, look right. down and say, what do you want?
Right, be looking out the window or
and you,
giving the stink
you better
eye to
know.
Somebody else.
You better know, because if there's a significant
no substitutions.
Pause, or if there's a question,
uh-huh.
You know, and especially if it's a guyish question, like, can I get the pastrami with mayo?
Right.
The guy is gone. Ooh. It'll be an hour before he comes back to the table.
If that guy even comes back to the table.
Right. They may some,
send, yeah,
send they might send in a specialist who is willing to answer questions and handle the needs. Now, my mother did this. My parents almost got divorced that day. My mother and father went to a deli, and she wanted a Reuben with cheese. She wanted a...
Oh, no.
Yes. She wanted corned beef, Swiss, and coleslaw, and French dressing.
Okay, wow.
Okay, so the number of kosher laws that were broken just in hearing that order, the entire restaurant fell silent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And my father turned like a shade of magenta.
Yeah, yeah, he would
And he kind of laughed. He sort of laughed, and he's trying to, like, get the waiter to come back to Earth.
Right, yeah.
And says, she's a guy, or she's a shiksa. So, of course, at that moment, my mother's infuriated.
Right, of course,
which she should be. And somehow, miraculously, some food was brought to the table and consumed.
Well,
and
your dad took care of somebody, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. So you must be very, very careful.
Yeah.
With your kosher ordering. Bernstein's on Essex. Bernstein's on Essex.
Yeah.
Used to have a double menu.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not sure what
that
means.
Only Jews could come up with such a thing. You have the regular.
Okay.
That's right. Your corned beef, your pastrami, your coleslaw, your half sours. That's all of that.
Okay, yeah.
And then you have Chinese.
Really?
I am not kidding. There's the Chinese menu.
That is so funny. Bernstein's for Chinese.
So if you come in past, say, 5 o'clock, it's not all day, but it's dinner. Okay. Dinner. If you come in and they say, you're getting regular or Chinese? I am not kidding you.
Oh, wow.
So the Chinese, I have some theories about. Regular or Chinese? And God help you if you want to mix.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like
I want Chinese.
If you walk in and say, well, you know, the kids want Chinese, but we want regular, separate tables. You might be told that many things could happen. I'm sorry, we cannot accommodate you. Next, many things can go wrong there.
Yeah. Well,
in addition to the food, which is horrendous. It's horrendous. Everything you love about Chinese food
is not there. Huh?
You know,
it's all missing.
Take your shrimp. Take your pork.
Oh, right, of course.
Take your crab. Your fish sauce. Because in addition to the actual foods that are verboten, you also have everything has to have a kosher. Certificate.
Right, of course.
So the soy sauce has to be kosher.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not just that, well, you could go have beef and broccoli.
No.
Just a minute.
That's right.
Is the beef kosher slaughtered?
Is the broccoli kosher?
Is it kosher broccoli? And on it goes.
Right.
So I know this comes as no shock, but Bernstein's on Essex was not the best place to eat Chinese in Manhattan.
Huh, that's so weird.
But it was a thing. Now, if you wanted Ratner's is gone.
If
you wanted dairy.
Okay, well.
But anyway, Bernstein's on Essex, mm-hmm. bless you.
Okay, they're still there?
Of blessed memories.
Oh, no longer there.
No.
Yeah.
And Stage and Carnegie. I don't know if Stage is still going to remain open, but the Jewish deli has pretty much left New York. Now,
we have...
everything has left everywhere.
What do we have? One
Katz's.
Yeah, Katz's. Is that there? Yeah. There's two of them,
and that's
it, right?
That's BS. I mean, this thing with Katz's. Katz's was a hot dog stand. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, Harry Met Sally, and boom.
Right.
There's a line of Katz's.
Right.
And you have to have waiters there have to go through a particular training course.
Right.
Where they are put in a room. It's a like in a detox, sensory deprivation room, essentially,
right, yeah.
But with headphones on,
mm-hmm.
and you listen to this on a loop for several hours.
Yep.
I'll have what she's having. That goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And you have to be a waiter
yeah.
that can handle hearing that
right
every 3 minutes.
Huh? Right.
For your entire shift.
It makes good sense that they're building up their, endurance that way.
Well, you have to, because if you're someone that would be, ugh, please, I can't. There's no, please, I can't. You have to leave.
Right.
You will never take it.
Right,
you will
of course.
Never make
yeah.
it. Now, I just want to make sure as I close out this little segment that
on the Ann Levine broadcast radio program.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That
now being podcast, later being podcast, yeah.
We do love Ronna and Brian.
Yeah,
we
of
do.
Course, yeah.
And there's one strange thing, though.
Okay.
There's a missing episode.
You know what? That's a very good point. This is the back to the Ronna and Beverly show. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I just want to say that 2015's episode 109.
Now, let me say, you looked this up the other night. And
right.
You looked up Ronna and Beverly's most popular episodes.
Right.
And there it is listed in that one.
Right.
Episode 109.
And when you press play, it says error.
Gone.
Same thing on Earwolf, on their site, and it's gone.
They have erased it from everywhere.
Now, what I found is that I went back to our episode from a week after that, and we did play...
We did play
the
part
segment
of it,
where
right?
they were talking about our wedding. Part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
There's another whole section about Daniel.
Uh-huh.
Who was a guest at our wedding and mm-hmm. who got into the Ron and Beverly show.
Right, yeah.
Who also became involved, and he wrote to them asking about what he should do when he starts sweating.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah, well.
Yeah, at our wedding.
Yeah. You have to worry about things like that.
So anyway, that episode is gone. Gone. So we did find this piece, right?
Right, yeah.
That we played on our own show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nicholas claims to have a copy of it.
Oh, he does.
Saved somewhere.
Yeah.
And he said he was emailing it to me. I don't know where it ended up.
Okay,
but
you didn't
I
get
did
it?
Not receive it.
Well, he'll get it to you, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
where? Sure. I mean, where should he send it?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
What?
What email address should he use?
Oh, well, You know what? That's a good question, because it's probably a pretty big file. It may not go in email. We might have to set up a Dropbox thing. So maybe I'll just talk to him on social media and we'll figure it out.
That's great.
What do you think?
Oh, that's, yes. Yeah. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Yeah.
That's just the kind of information. Now, what was I going to get to? Oh, here's another thing.
Okay.
Which I didn't mean for this to come down to a, you know, Jews versus Goys, not versus, but compare.
You mean like a making a comparison? Okay, yeah.
That was never my intention for the show. However, there is...
Now that we've done that thoroughly...
Well, here are some podcasts.
Let's continue.
Here are some podcasts, and then I'm going to come back to the one.
These are recommended podcasts?
Yes, and you may be listening to these. You may know of these. If you don't, these are not optional. These are mandatory.
Okay, Anne's mandatory list of podcasts you are now commanded to listen to for your own good.
Reply All,
yes.
And Radiolab.
Okay. Ta-da.
Okay, now.
Is that it?
Well, no. I have a tidbit for those of you who are J-curious.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who are J-curious.
Right.
Or J.
Right, it could be both.
Right.
Yeah.
Unorthodox
mm-hmm.
is the podcast. It's just called Unorthodox. It's put out by Tablet Magazine, and it is funny.
It is very funny.
It is,
and it's informative.
Yeah,
you know.
It's just basically, if you want to listen in on the Jews, and they know you're listening in, by
right,
the
yeah,
way,
right?
We control everything, including
right, of course. I mean, all the media.
Yeah, we know what goes in and out of your ears.
Yeah.
So Unorthodox is fantastic, and they are friends of the show. Is that what you say when you've had people
sure,
on your
yeah.
show?
Yeah, that's
They've
what we
been
call
on
friends
our show.
Of the show.
So anyway, Liel Leibovitz.
Yeah.
Born in Herzliya in Israel.
Also called Stephanie occasionally.
No.
What? Didn't we vote on that?
No, it's Liel Leibovitz.
All right.
His middle name is Liel Leibovitz.
Okay.
So it's Liel Leibovitz Leibovitz.
Oh, okay. I thought Stephanie got in there. Somewhere.
No.
All right. I voted for Stephanie.
Stephanie's a different person on the show. But
yeah,
anyway.
I know, but I voted for that for his name.
Liel Leibovitz is a guy who came to the United States when he was 18 to do the summer project, ended up staying here, mastered English beyond, I guarantee, certainly what I have.
Okay.
I mean, his mastery of the English language is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
He's a brilliant guy. He's a philosopher and just an all-around funny guy. He's a total New Yorker, Upper West Side, wife and two kids.
Yeah.
And he's a Jewy Jew.
Likes video games.
Yeah. He's written a lot of books. He taught at NYU. He's a mensch. He's a person. Now, his favorite place on earth is Cape Cod. And his favorite place in Cape Cod is WOMR.
So, see?
Which is one of the reasons he was happy to come on our show, to come on WOMR.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Anyway, they were having a debate. Mark Oppenheimer, Stephanie Butnick-Cohen, and Liel Leibovitz about pool versus beach.
Okay.
Now, I know for most people, particularly in this area, that's a no-brainer.
Right.
It's the beach.
If you're on Cape Cod, it's the beach. I mean, that's
right.
Why people come here.
Right.
Yeah.
And you want the beach, and people go away in the winter to go to a beach.
That's right. Yep. They're going to Florida to where the beaches are.
The sand, you know, it's
the
just
the smell of the salt air.
The whole thing. And that cool water
washing
over you. All right.
It really isn't anything like living on the coast.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, a pool is something you can actually swim in a particular way.
Yes, true. Yeah.
So if you want to get in a certain number of laps without dealing with other people, undertow, whatever the heck is going to be out there.
Sharks, in the case of Cape Cod.
Whatever it is, you want to be swimming in a pool.
Yeah.
You know, if you're swimming for exercise or for certain, whatever, even for pleasure. Actually swimming.
Yeah.
And as Rana does every day, Rana gets in a pool every day.
Okay, well,
and
that's
I think
good for you.
She's a Jew for pool.
Okay.
I really do. I don't know for a fact, but I think she'd rather be at the pool, quite frankly.
Okay, then at the beach.
Now, here's what Liel says.
Okay. Yes.
Because I love being in water. I don't care if it's a pool, if it's the ocean, if it's a lake.
If it's sub-zero.
If it's clean and cool, I'm in.
Yeah, I know. You are a mermaid.
I am a mermaid.
Yeah, you really are.
So, Liel did offer this point.
Okay.
He said, look, you have a pool, you go outside, sit in a chaise, and you got whatever it is. If you're a Jew, maybe a Diet Coke on ice with a twist of lime.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, maybe a Coors. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how it goes.
Right.
But you've got your chaise, you've got your drink, and your magazine. Your book, your laptop, whatever it is that you want to fiddle with.
Yeah.
And, it's getting a little warm. Hop in that pool. Swim
Jump
to your heart's delight. Get out, towel, sit down.
Yeah.
Now, this is how Liel describes the beach.
Okay.
First of all, you have to bring your own furniture. And you have to carry it.
Good point. Yeah. All right.
That's a huge point.
That is a very big point, yeah. There's a lot of stuff you have to tote.
Yep. Second of all, your drinks are not at a tiki bar, nor are they right there in your house.
Right.
You have to have brought them in some sort of cooler device, in a big, heavy thing, and your food.
Correct. Yeah, and it is, none of it is likely to stay sand-free.
No, and it's all garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you've got a cooler full of paper plates, plastic forks, plastic cups.
Yeah.
It's all very bad for the environment.
Yeah,
okay,
but you're at the beach.
You got all that, you're at the beach. Fabulous. Yeah. And then let's say you want to lie down for a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember lying on a towel, like to take a nap at the beach on the sand towel?
Well, yeah, yeah.
How did that go? Right?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, there's some kid running by that's yelling or kicking sand on you by accident.
Rock digging into you somewhere.
Yeah.
Or sand fleas.
Or it's too hot. You realize your back is burning.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, but if you don't have an umbrella or a tent or something, nah.
Now, here's Liel's biggest point. There's one thing you can't bring with you to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
It's your bathroom.
Yeah.
And as he says,
point there.
The ocean is an enormous bathroom.
Yeah.
And you look around you at the beach, whoever's there, they went.
They went.
They went in. and they get told to go in.
Well, yeah.
You ever be at the beach and you're, Mommy, I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, well, go out
go
there.
Go in the water.
Yeah, go up to your waist.
Just go out in the water. You know.
Yeah.
And most of us kind of suspend our whatever it is. But it's true. And as Mark Oppenheimer added, not to mention every whale, every crab,
right,
every lobster.
Every one of those tiny little fishes.
Everything in the ocean is pooping all the time.
That's right.
Also.
The clams.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there is that side of the argument. Now, that won't get me. If I'm at a beach and there's water and it's clean, in quotes.
Right, yeah.
I'm in.
Okay, yeah.
And right. I can let all that those thoughts of the other stuff go. Because it's pure saline.
Right.
But that's another problem that Jewish people have with beach.
Okay.
That is hard for them to handle.
Okay, yeah, well.
You know.
Well, yeah.
The waste.
Right, of course, yeah. Yeah, it's...
And the food, I mean, look. If you have a mother, and I'm telling you this person existed, who would put a salami and onion sandwich...
Yeah?
...in a piece of foil to send you to school...
Mm-hmm. Right?
Well... That same person's going to put one for you to take to the beach.
That's right. Or crab salad or something like that. Oh,
what?
Yeah.
What? What do you something mean crab
that,
salad?
Yeah, something that will...
A Jew?
With well, okay, maybe not.
Yeah,
a Jew,
no, a tuna fish.
Yeah, tuna.
Tuna salad.
That'll get all nice and warm in the
egg
sun.
Egg salad.
It'd be so great.
White fish salad.
Yeah. There you go.
There is nothing that belongs on the beach less...
Nah.
Than those things.
Nah.
Anyhow, I am coming down on, if I had to pick one forever, wow. I don't know. I can't, honestly.
Okay,
but
well,
let's just say this summer with COVID and everything, I was so happy to have a pool. Across the Green Mountain. And... Not just a sauna, like some people in Marblehead that I'm familiar with. We had a happy sad thing this week. How unusual. Sarah left, our friend Sarah. I'm not going to do last names. She had to go, and her gorgeous daughters... Eve and Birdie, and they had to go move away from Cape Cod, and we miss them terribly, but from the bottom of our hearts, we wish them everything wonderful that's possible in life. And you know where they are? They're up in the Green Mountains. Otherwise, there's no way in hell I'd be playing Bob Dylan. Please put a light on.
Altars are burning with flames far and wide. The foe has crossed over from the other side. They tip their caps from the top of the hill. You can feel them come, more brave blood to spill. Along the dim Atlantic line, the rapids land lies for miles behind. The lights coming forward the streets are broad. All must yield to the avenging God.